Hello, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. My name is Tracy Tarrant. I'm filling in for Amy Otto, who's on vacation this week, with my co-host Lee Cantor.
Good morning, Tracy. How you doing?
Peachy.
A little nervous?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
I'm good.
You look a little nervous.
Nah.
So what kind of show do we have today?
Today we have Debbie Shannon with Action Secure Shredding. Debbie is the COO, which is Chief Operations Officer, for those of you who aren't sure what that means. She started the business in October 2007 after a battle with identity theft. Debbie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me a little bit about your battle with the identity theft.
I had a young lady actually go through my trash and take some information out. And from there, she created her own little identity, and she changed a bill. She changed the address. It was the bill that says, oh, hey, by the way, I've moved. Here's my new address, and had all the information sent to her that way, which is a credit card bill. I thought I had torn it up enough just by, you know, just ripping it in half and putting it in the trash, but that wasn't so. So she got the information. Good thing is I already put a pretty good limit on the credit card, so there wasn't a whole lot to do it. But she had enough information to say, hey, I've lost my card. Can you resend me a new one? And she had the account number. She had, I mean, everything right there for her.
So. Did they catch her?
Yeah, they caught her, and she only did about 6 months. But it still took a lot of time and a lot of, you know, putting fraud alerts on my credit and a lot of different things. It's very nerve-wracking to know that that's that easy for someone to get your information and become you, actually.
Not to mention time-consuming, trying to
very
get that
time
fixed
consuming.
Up and expensive.
Well, they say about an average of 200 to 600 hours, as well as an average of about $1,500 to $1,600 just to get your identity back, just to clear your identity. If you're thinking 200 to 600 hours, I mean, that's almost a complete year. Not to mention, you know, anytime you want to apply for credit, there's a big fraud alert. You have to prove who you are. You have to say, really, it is me.
Yeah.
I promise it's me. But, you know, they can't just take it off promise. They actually have
to. So after this happened, you did the next logical step and started a shredding business?
Well, you know, you go online and you start searching for personal shredders. I wanted something in my house so I could make sure I shredded everything before it went anywhere. So it was unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start surfing the net and one thing pops up or another, and so I went to shredding companies, and then it went to, you know, the trucks and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sure I am not the only one that has had personal identity theft on them. And I'm sure that, you know, when you call the different companies, hey, can you come to my house? A lot of them don't go to people's houses. And there's a big growing number of companies out here who have businesses in their homes, but the companies don't do residential. So there's only very few that do. I am definitely one of them. I think I'm one of maybe two in the city that will come to your house and actually shred your personal information.
And so you come to the house with a big truck.
I come to the house with a big truck, and it's about 23-foot truck. I drive the truck myself. I do all the shredding myself. I mean, we've just hired a new person because we are a fairly quickly growing business, which I'm very excited about. And it's just getting the information out to people to let them know, you know, identity theft is the largest and fastest growing crime out there, not only for people, you know, in our age from the 20 to 40 range, but, you know, 40 to 60, 60 and above. The 60 and above range are more the retired, more mature audiences that we have. They're not as they're easy to throw things out and not pay attention to some of the things. And people can go through your trash and discover who you are based off your junk mail that you have and based off bills that you think you've thrown away, or, you know, you pretty much need to annihilate
so
everything you get.
With residential shredding, so you suggest we shred
everything,
piece of mail that comes in.
Even magazines.
Even magazines. People
really
can tell what you like based off your magazines. If you get Rolling Stone or they see you get movie premiere, they obviously know you like entertainment. So if they could go to Best Buy and try, if they got any other information, maybe open up a credit card in your name there. Or, I mean, there's just little things that they can do. And if you don't check your credit on a regular basis, then you don't know in 6 months' time, someone could have taken your identity and opened up 10 or 12, you know, credit cards, and you have no recourse on it except to say, that's not me.
Right.
So is identity theft the main reason someone should be shredding?
There's a lot of reasons, not just identity theft. I mean, we recycle everything that we do. And, you know, for every 64 gallon trash bin, you're saving half a tree. So two large containers, you're saving a tree. So, and it can go into other recycling things. If you see your, you know, if you go to Starbucks and you have that little mug on the side that's made from recycled materials, sometimes the recycled companies will donate to pet shelters for beds and stuff for the new animals that you may see at the store. So,
and Go Green is such a hot topic nowadays that everybody wants to recycle. Now, for example, I take mine to just a recycling dumpster and just dump everything in there. So, if I don't have enough to warrant, I mean, actually, how much warrants having you come to my home?
Anything. We do have a minimum. It's usually around, the average cost is about $5 a box. So 1 to 10 boxes is $50. For $50 is our minimum, I can come and shred. And maybe you have a neighbor that needs something shredded too. So if you and your neighbor got together, you can contain enough to do it so that, you know, maybe split that with your neighbor and say, hey, I'll pay 25, you pay 25, and I'll come out there.
And what is a box? Like what's like?
That's a regular file box. Okay. You know, like if you went to, say you went to Office Depot and you got a paper box. Or a box of
those
paper.
Storage boxes.
Right. That's a regular file box. Gotcha. I've also done community shreds where I'll go into a neighborhood or a homeowners association and I'll set the truck up in one ideal location and then people will bring it to us and, you know, then we can charge a little bit less. It's just helping the community get rid of their things.
So do you do it as a fundraiser also?
I do it as a fundraiser. I like going to schools or maybe the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts if they ever needed something because, you know, everything that we do is recycled. So if they wanted to charge someone, say, $5 a box, which is our average, mm-hmm. We would give them $2 back on each box that they shred. So it's kind of it's a little bit easier money than a cookie. Cookie bake
and
sale.
And what part of town do you work in? Do you work in all of Metro Atlanta? Or
I
work
all of Metro Atlanta. I go up to Gainesville, out to Douglasville, over to Covington. I'll go down to Jonesboro or even Peachtree.
Oh, good. I'm just outside Douglasville.
I will go all over. And I do have clients in Douglasville. So if someone needed to do something, we could coordinate it to
excellent.
Where you could come to Home Depot or the Arbor Place Mall or something out that direction. And I'd be more than happy to stay.
Oh, I'll have to take
and
you
talk
up
to
on
you.
I paid my daughter to do my shredding for me, and I've got probably two file boxes full, and she still hasn't done it. So.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
It's
just sitting in my office waiting to be shred.
I have a CPA that I shred on a regular basis for, and she's like, I tried to pay my kids, but they just would not help.
They don't.
And when you think about it, I mean, if you pay your kids to do it, you have the mess to clean up after them. You have the possibility of the machine breaking down, and if you're paying $80 to $120 for a personal shredder, and you're having to replace it every few months because the maintenance hasn't been kept up on it, or the kids try and shove too much into it, or anything along that line, which has happened. Staples and paper clips, if you just put it in a box, I can shred it in just a few seconds. So sometimes it's worth, what is your time worth of sitting there shredding it yourself, or what's your time valuable enough to you that you would call me and I would come and do it for you?
Now, you mentioned Staples. Is there, like, what if you have, like, CDs? You know how you get these big piles of stuff and you don't even know what in?
I shred CDs. I shred discs. I shred, you know, they're all really, it's a big machine. It could eat a pair of pliers if it needed to. I've shredded binders. The big, remember the old computer printouts that you had of billing that were like
green and white stripes?
The green and white stripes, and they're about 5 or 6 inches thick. I can shred those too.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Now, for some people who do have home offices and aren't familiar with, are you familiar with the HIPAA laws?
I am.
Can you tell us a little bit about those and why shredding is so important for a business?
It's very, well, first of all, if the government decides to just go dumpster diving, because it's not illegal to go through your trash.
Right.
It's illegal to go through their mail. It's not illegal to go through your trash.
Right.
So the government and certain eyewitness or investigative reporting people will go through your trash. And if there is any information about any of your clients, whether it be their name, their address, any information, you can get fined up to $10,000 per infraction.
Wow.
Most people do not know that.
No.
But, I mean, even if it has any type of information, your customer's signature on it, anything, if you take credit cards, all of that information, it needs to be shredded. That is, it's people's identity, whether it be, and HIPAA laws protect you as a patient against anybody getting the information if you don't want them to have it. There's Graham Leach. There's which is also knowing that a company has to protect you as well. You're entrusting in them all of your information. And right. a lot of people don't take into account, well, how protected is my information in that company? Some companies, they make sure they do a background check on their employees. They make sure that the people that are there understand that all that information is private. But, you know,
things happen.
Things happen. I mean, think of poor Britney Spears and everybody else who has been in the hospital and somebody leaks out information for them. I mean, the right money could probably turn somebody over into saying, hey, well, here's all these people's information. So you just really, you have to be careful about who you see and who you give your information to nowadays.
Is there anything, like you mentioned the HIPAA for the medical people, but mm-hmm. Are your best clients, like, that are business-oriented, are they doctors, or you mentioned accountants?
I have doctor's offices. I have lawyers, CPAs. There's a growing number of women who are working from home, and they are CPAs. They are tax accountants. They are lawyers who they've got kids that they want to be there for when they get home, so they run their business out of their office. Mm-hmm. They may have some place that they go for a few hours if a general partnership with a group of people, but a lot of people do stay at home nowadays. And I encourage that, because, you know, a lot of times the kids that go to daycare may not always necessarily – that's a different subject. That's a different subject. But more and more women are staying home. First of all, gas is so expensive that a lot of people have decided – you know what? I'm going to telecommute, and I'm going to work more at my home than I'm going to go someplace else.
I know I did.
And you have to think, if you're working for a large corporation and your employees are telecommuting, they're dealing with documents at their house.
Right.
So they have your company documents at their house. If you knew of a way, if you knew someone that was doing a lot more teleworking and they were at home, what is the odds that someone may go through their trash if they threw something away from your company?
Right.
So that's why another reason I go to residentials. There's actually a vice president of a company that only goes into the office one day a week. The rest of the time is at his house because he's got family issues that require him to stay more at home. So I have a container that looks like a little file cabinet that keeps at his house, and I go and pick things up from his house once a month that he gets rid of. First of all, it's also storage. If you think about how much real estate is nowadays and per square footage, you know, you could be saving $200 or $300 a month.
Definitely.
From not having to hold paper.
Do you provide those kind of bins?
Yes, I do. I can provide containers. I have an 11-gallon little container that can go under people's desks. I have a 40-gallon container that looks like I said, like a file cabinet that has a door that opens up with a bag on the inside. Everything's locked, so nobody can get in there except for the person that holds the key and myself.
How much is that?
It's $45 a month.
And then that includes you coming out and...
That includes me coming out and getting rid of everything. The more containers you have, of course, the higher the price goes.
Right.
But if
right.
you just have one container, it's $45 a month or per pickup. Some of my clients don't need it every month. Some of my
right.
clients need it every other month or every third month or quarterly.
So you're okay with that too?
Good.
Yeah, I'm okay with
so
that too.
So that's the $45 a pickup?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's amazing.
I may have to invest
I'll do
in
that.
Yeah, I hear you. Definitely.
And then there's also bins, which look like trash bins that you would roll out to the side. They have wheels on them, and those are the 64 gallons, and those are also $45.
Wow. But you keep that in your house, right? You can't leave that out because that defeats the purpose.
That's correct. And it's locked. There's a lock on
those
there.
Those are locked. Okay.
Every container that we have has a lock on it, so the only person that can get into it is the person who's in charge of the paper and myself or mm-hmm. someone who works for my company.
Excellent.
Wow. I mean, I think this business is fantastic. I mean, you're probably growing like crazy.
It's getting out there, which is kind of exciting. And I like to think of the personal attention I like to give my customers too, because a lot of times, you know, it's an older couple that have a lot of things in the basement they've accumulated over the years, whether
right.
it be bank receipts or things like that that
pack
they've
rats.
Had. Pack rats, of course. Did you know that hoarding is a sign of depression? I did not know that until researching things for this company. Or being a pack rat. So, and I have family members that are guilty of it just as much as anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
But it's amazing the things that they keep, because you know, they grew up in a different era and a different time where you kept everything.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that sometimes some of your tax laws have changed. Everybody thought, oh, I have to keep everything for 10 years. Well, no, you don't.
How many years? Why don't you kind of educate our listeners about that? Like, what are the rules with tax documents? Because I know that's why I called you months ago, actually.
Originally, the tax documents, it was actually every 7 years. You should only keep up to seven years instead of 10 years. Some people actually nowadays go paperless, where they take everything and they scan it into a computer or a document. And in this new era of going paperless, you still have to have original paperwork. And you can scan that paperwork in, and that's what becomes the paperless, is you have that document scanned into a file somewhere. But what are you supposed to do with the original copy that has a signature on it? Well, you need to get rid of it, because technically that is the original legal document, is what was signed. If you destroy that document, then what was scanned is the legal tender. It's kind of interesting. There's some great companies out there that will scan documents for you. We'll give it to you on a disk, or they will have it on a safe mainframe somewhere so that you can access the information. There's a lot of wonderful new products coming out for things like that. So people that have their basement full of files and they don't necessarily want to get rid of them, there are companies out there that will do that. And then they'll call me to come and shred it.
And shred everything. And that's a great way to save on the storage, like you were talking about.
A lot of storage.
Because you can keep everything on a disk. You can put that in a fire-safe box.
Exactly.
So that, God forbid, should something ever happen to your home, you've got all that important information that's not destroyed.
That's correct. So it's kind of nice to – and there's also companies out there that have remote storage.
Definitely.
So that it doesn't – all your information, you would just have access codes to get into the remote storage at somebody else's mainframe.
I know, as a business owner, I use that a lot. I have all my tax returns stored with H&R Block. I have all my bookkeeping stored with QuickBooks Online.
Right.
I'm actually thinking about storing my personal database, or my business database, so all those contacts that I know.
Correct.
Storing that remotely, just – you know, if my computer
backup
crashed, you know, and I don't have my backup up and running or something, yeah, definitely.
Most people nowadays do recommend that you always get something backup. I mean, for, you know, my personal business myself, any information, even if you have your website on something, you need to have it backed up someplace else in case something should happen. The biggest thing that I think people don't understand about shredding is everybody thinks, oh, I can't afford it, or, oh, this is, I don't have enough to do it, or
that's
something
where
like
I
that.
I was just about to go,
Actually, September 13th, we are doing a shred for the city of Alpharetta. We are going to be at the Starbucks on Milton Parkway in Old Haines Bridge. There's a Starbucks there on the corner, and we'll be there with the city of Alpharetta shredding for them. So we have an opportunity to let the community know more about what we do. Like I said, we've done homeowners associations where we literally sat there and the whole neighborhood had a trash day. And we sat there and shredded people's documents, and then they had somebody else to pick up their trash or their old computers or something like that, to kind of, instead of having a big yard sale day where everybody sold the little stuff they didn't think was trash, and then if they didn't sell it, they could get rid of it.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I think I want to organize something like that in my town.
It's interesting to think about it, because a lot of those people, the materials that they recycle, if it's furniture that you want to get rid of, you can call the Salvation Army to sit there that day with us. I mean, there's a lot of different people. You can turn it into almost like a community fair for your neighborhood, of different organizations and stuff that can help you out in the neighborhood, that a lot of people just don't take the time because their lives are so busy. They don't think about protecting themselves sometimes.
Definitely.
You think about airbags for your car. You think about, you know, putting plugs in your walls to protect your children, but there's just some things you don't think about protecting yourself.
Right. Well, you think you threw it in the garbage, so then it's taken care of.
Correct.
Right.
There's a national bank that does a lovely commercial that I love very much, of a woman who's checking her mail, and it's junk mail, and she just throws it into her recycling bin, and the gentleman is jogging down the street, picks it up, and runs away with it. That's the perfect example of identity theft. You don't realize. You just tear it in half.
All those credit card offers, you've been pre-approved. Right.
Exactly. You've been pre-approved and everything. That has all of your information in it. So you need to get rid of it in a secure way. A lot of people think if they just take a black ink marker and scratch it out, it'll be fine. There's so much opportunity for them to look, especially nowadays with the technology they have.
You can see through the black marker.
So it's the best way to do it is just to shred it and get rid of it. Most everything that we have is recycled, and they're shredded into about inch An inch tear across, which for some people it's shredding one way and shredding another.
Wow.
And my truck has a camera in it, so people can actually see it being shredded and actually see what it looks like in the back after it's done. There's an area of where we contain everything before we take it to the recycling bin in the back of the truck, and they can see how big it is and they can see where it goes.
Oh, very cool.
I had a young lady that I did this past weekend, and she has also been victim of identity theft, and she literally wanted to see every single piece of paper, and I got up in that truck and made sure all those little business cards and everything were in there so that she could have the peace of mind of knowing that it was actually done.
Speaking of business cards, I don't think that's something that most people think about. We all hoard those precious business cards that we collect when we're out networking.
Yes.
I'm actually in the process of uploading all mine to CardScan, where I scan it all.
Right.
It's all housed on a remote server. And then I'm going to shred all those cards.
Correct.
Because that also falls under the HIPAA laws, doesn't it?
Not necessarily the HIPAA laws. The HIPAA laws is more like a medical.
Oh, that's all medical.
It's
okay.
Medical. It's the Gram-Leach law that falls under.
The Gram-Leach law.
Gram-Leach. It's very interesting because if you're a business person and you're networking to certain or particular companies, for me, I probably couldn't tell you of a single person that didn't need shredding, only because it's just so important for people to understand the not only the security aspect of it, but the saving space and the personal security of peace of mind of knowing things are done. So there's not anybody that I couldn't say, yeah, you need some shredding. but say you're a catering company and you're going after particular businesses. I mean, people could take that information. The criminal mind is just amazing. How did you think of that?
Well, that's their job. That's what
their
they're
job.
Doing 24/7.
That's their specialty. Yeah, definitely.
They're thinking outside the box. So something that you may not necessarily. Just like when they say not to have vanity plates with your name on it.
Right.
Because if someone can even grab your attention for 2 seconds, they have an opportunity to commit a crime against you with a vanity plate on. So there's a... When you start getting into this business, you
get
start,
more paranoid.
You do. You get a lot more paranoid.
Now, before we go, I want to make sure we talk about another thing you do is you're a plus model.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a plus model here in Atlanta. I've worked for Macy's and Silver Lining and a few other local designers here. I just got through going to shoot in L.A. for a calendar event that's coming out hopefully in the next month or so. So. It's going pretty well.
Is that a big part of your life?
I call it my sub life because Action Secure Shredding takes up the majority of my time.
Right.
It's kind of like my part-time job as well as, you know, the plus size pageant world. I'm the former Miss Plus America.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Current lifetime queen. So I still make appearances and, help other pageant people get to where they are because the plus size market is, it's a growing market. So.
Is that the joke they say? That's
a growing market.
A growing market. That's right. That's right. You have to, you know, be confident enough to love who you are and celebrate that.
So what's the, what are the lessons? So you talked a little bit just now about it. What are the lessons of getting involved in that kind of work?
You have to go into the plus size business or the plus size pageantry. You have to be confident, but you can't be so confident that you don't take into consideration if you're not picked for something or you don't win a pageant, that doesn't mean you're not a good person or that doesn't mean you're not beautiful. It just means that that's not your opportunity at that time. There will be another one that comes along.
So you got to be able to handle rejection.
Yes.
You know, a good way to do that is cold calling.
Yes.
That happens to skin
that happens.
A little bit.
In you know, being in sales the majority of my life, I'm okay with that. And cold calling too. There are actually CPA firms out there that I have been to that I've met with and sat down, and they're like, you know, why would we need it?
Right.
We keep everything in storage, and you know, I'm like, what? You keep it in a locked cabinet, but then they still have boxes of paper underneath their desk or sitting over by, you know, their printer or something like that that they don't take into consideration. Well, how do you know what the creating clue is going to do?
Right.
You know, when they come in at night, are they going to pick through your stuff? You don't know that.
Right.
So I always recommend for people, if you're going to go to somebody's office, pay attention to if they're leaving things around, if their paper is just stuck in a box someplace instead of securely put away so that you know that nobody's going to have an opportunity to look at your things.
Now, Debbie, if people want to get more information, how do they contact you?
They can go to my website, which is www.actionsecureshredding.com. That gives them any information. If they want a free quote, they can write all their information in there, what they need, what they're interested in, or they, and the telephone number is on there, or they can email me directly at dshannon@actionsecureshredding.com.
Very good.
Good stuff. Great job.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
This has been fun.
Have a great day.
All right. This is Tracy Tarrant again stepping in for Amy Otto, and this is the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you,
Lee.
All right. See you guys next week.